Esther and Mordecai, commentary for the December 23rd, 2023 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this." Esther 3:13-14. While in the army, I was stationed for 2 years in the early 1970s at Fort Wainwright outside of Fairbanks, Alaska. It was an isolated posting. I have not been back since, so I do not know how things are today, but back then radio and television entertainment was limited. It was therefore more of a challenge to find alternatives to winter boredom with the very short days and exceedingly long nights, as well as the limitations caused by extremely cold temperatures. I was married in December of 1974, and the entire week before my wedding, the temperature hovered around 50 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. At those temperatures, the tires on a parked vehicle freeze with a flat spot where they meet the parking pavement. So when a car goes down the road, the tires go thump, thump, thump until they become warm enough from friction to become round again. Despite these challenges, we had to find ways to entertain ourselves in the far north. I did a lot of cross-country skiing. There were two ski trails on Fort Wainwright, a 5-mile and a 10-mile trail. Since we were an Arctic unit, we were encouraged to ski as much as possible. My first time skiing, I was worried I might freeze to death at those temperatures, so I bundled up. But I discovered that once I got going on the trail, I generated so much body heat that all the extra clothing became a useless burden as I stripped my coat and shirt, leaving only my long underwear top. I did not make that mistake the second time. The skiing was beautiful, and we often went out in small groups. Since nighttime darkness surrounded us, the northern lights were brilliant when they were out. They seemed so close that we could touch them. Moonlight brought a special splendor. At those temperatures, the air would freeze, covering the pine trees with millions of droplets of ice. Those droplets would shimmer in the moonlight, and the entire forest would be alive with natural Christmas trees. At times when skiing through this frozen wonderland, an Arctic fox would greet us in his white winter coat, reminding us that it was possible for life to thrive, even in such cold. These were pleasant memories, but half a century later, I doubt I could manage the challenges that my younger self took on with ease. Another memory that has remained with me through the decades was a Sabbath memory. Before I went to Alaska, I served at Fort Bliss, outside of El Paso, Texas. At that time, I attended the Central Seventh-day Adventist Church on McRae Boulevard. One of the events I looked forward to each week was Sabbath Vespers, where a group of church members would gather on Friday evening to welcome in the Sabbath with hymn singing and viewing nature slides. They did not have this in Fairbanks, Alaska, so I was at a loss for Sabbath fellowship opportunities outside of church attendance and potlucks. There was a bowling alley across the street from my barracks on base, but that was not the kind of atmosphere that I was looking for on Sabbath. Eventually, I came across a flyer that announced that there was a Jewish service each Friday evening on base. A rabbi at Fort Richardson outside of Anchorage, Alaska, was traveling to Fort Wainwright weekly. He flew by military hop over 700 miles round trip to minister to a handful of Jewish service members on our base. Curious, I decided to attend and see what we had in common with these fellow Sabbath keepers. As luck would have it, that exploratory visit was when they were celebrating Purim. Purim is where they read aloud, as they do annually, the Book of Esther. I was familiar with Esther, but not the celebrations surrounding it. I was handed a noisemaker and instructed that every time the name of the villain, Haman, was mentioned, I was to shout, "Boo!" and make lots of noise with the noisemaker. Since Haman is mentioned frequently, this happened often. Esther was a Jewess who became queen in Persia. A royal courtier, Haman, became incensed when Esther's uncle Mordecai refused to bow down to him. He decided to do away with Mordecai, and discovering that Mordecai was a Jew, he decided to do away with all the Jews as well. At Mordecai's urging, Esther intercedes with King Xerxes, and the king destroys Haman and his family, as Haman sought to do with Mordecai and the Jews. Xerxes also signs a decree for the Jews to rise up against those who sought to destroy them, and promoted Mordecai to the royal court. In celebration of this deliverance, Jews revisit this story each year, and after the reading and noise-making have concluded, indulge in a special treat, cookies called Hamantaschen, or Haman's Pockets. Others refer to them as Onze Haman, or Haman's Ears. One tradition says that the triangular shape of the cookies mimics a tri-corner hat Haman was supposed to have worn. Another tradition says it was the shape of Haman's ears. Whatever tradition one clings to, the cookies were delicious. All these decades later, I have not forgotten the experience. While stories like Esther's can provide hope and encouragement in the face of life-threatening challenges, we may be jaded because we know that is not how life always plays out, even for the faithful. Even the Bible has examples where the faithful were not delivered. One example is the prophet Isaiah, who was sawn in two at the order of the wicked king Manasseh. Jesus also tells us of the prophet Zechariah, murdered between the temple and the altar. A third example is John the Baptist, beheaded by Herod. This last example is even more puzzling, for Jesus did nothing to prevent it. We find a sharp contrast between the verses from Daniel and Esther that show God's people being delivered from mortal danger and these instances where they were not. If we look at the lives of the leaders in the early Christian church, we see similar challenges to the God will deliver you narrative. Many died as martyrs while persecuted by Rome, and even by their fellow Jews, as Stephen experienced when he was stoned to death with Paul looking on before his Damascus Road experience. Fox's Book of Martyrs abounds with stories of similar deaths occurring after the Bible goes silent on the further history of such incidents. Despite the words of Psalm 91 assuring us of God's protection of those who are faithful, why are there so many martyrs crying out for justice in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation? When we see contradictions like this, it is understandable why some turn away from God, especially if they have not seen deliverance from challenges they have faced while trying to remain faithful. But that is problematic as well. If we deny God's existence, we end up asking ourselves, is this all there is? Is it like Shakespeare's character Macbeth said, "Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Without purpose, the only answer to some may seem to simply exit stage left. Are we only to be subjects of pity without meaning? Biological accidents, blooming for our short existence, and despite all, protesting to the contrary, no more significant than any single grain among billions of similar grains of sand on the beach. Is it simply a conceit to claim we are more than that? Something inside us revolts at that thought. When we see injustice, we innately know it is wrong, not because the Bible tells us so, but because we have felt the sting of injustice ourselves and recognized it as unnatural. It is that sense of right and wrong that brings us to reject a world without justice. When we read the words of Christ, we see someone who speaks in harmony with what our hearts are lamenting, the lack of compassion, empathy, justice, and love. Our hearts cry out for this, and we are not alone. Thousands came to see Jesus because he resonated with that cry. He told us, no matter how terrible things look, do not give up. It is the faithfulness that spoke from the hearts of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when faced with being cast into a brick kiln to be burned alive. Their response to the king who would do such a thing was, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. God did deliver them, but that did not matter. They were determined to maintain their relationship with God, even if he did not deliver them. Would we choose to do the same? Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, along with illustrations and footnotes supporting the ideas shared in this commentary, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts, and links to books by the author at that website. Once again, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.